Hello and welcome to Interview with DJ Nocturna. And I'm speaking with amazing guitarist, songwriter, singer who lives in London, based in London right now, but originally Nigerian. His name is Yinka Oyewole. I hope I didn't butcher that.
Very good.
And his project is called Sabata. Thank you for joining me. We were just talking about how I love funkadelic. I love R&B and that whole groove which you're showcasing in your music. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first off, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that, you know, it's sexy. It's a sexy style. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, with the guitar and all that thing, it's just like, whoa, you know. And I know it's evening there for you, 7 p.m. in London. So
that's correct.
To tell me a little bit about your musical influences and how you started out in music.
Okay, great. Well, first off, I want to thank you for having me on the show. Really
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. So that's great. I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of an interesting question because for me, because the varied influences I have come because I'm in London, as you mentioned, and the way I look at it is like there's a lot of different influences, or there's a lot of different musical styles and culture and fashion and art and everything that I'm surrounded by in London. So, and I've been based here quite a lot. So I picked that up. So that goes back into my music. But even growing up, as you said, like I'm like my heritage is Nigerian. I grew up kind of around the UK, but mainly just outside of London in Essex. And so, like, when I was a kid growing up, like, I'd hear, like, my brothers were into rock. That's how, like, my eldest brother was into rock. That's how I first got into it. But my dad would be, you know, playing stuff. My mom and dad were playing stuff. But my dad, especially on Sundays in the kitchen, I'd be hearing a lot of high life, you know, Nigerian music, that kind of traditional. So I get that coming. And then as I grew up as well, I get into a lot of urban music as well, hip hop, and then I'm a big thrash head as well. Like I'm big into thrash metal. So like different from, you know, different sources, myself, friends, brothers, family. So it all comes together. And then, as I say, living in London, what I really wanted to say for me, I try and be honest in my music. And I think that's not just lyrically, that's also instrumentally. So I feel like I'd be not being fully honest if I didn't allow the influences that surround me to come out in my music.
Yeah. You know, I see the combination of funk and rock in your musical style. How do you balance the genre between when you create like new music and all that? I know it's all from your experiences, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, like, you know, that question, I've, you know, it's interesting. I've seen other people answer these type of questions. And a lot of people, they say, well, you know, they'll talk about a particular song or something and say, oh, I heard this by this person and I used a bit of this. I've never really done that. Like what I do is I come up, like ideas come to me. I think other artists, that happens as well. Like I might be lying in bed, I might be in the supermarket or whatever, something will come to me, like a sound or an idea, and I'll just go with it. And then later on, people will say to me, oh, that's funky, or that's this, and I don't really think about it honestly until afterwards. It's only if I say, like, there's one or two slower songs on the album. If I say, okay, I'm going to do something maybe a bit acoustic or a bit slow, then it's more obvious. But other than that, I don't really think of it like that.
It just
it's
comes
like,
out.
It's all, so go ahead.
Yeah, no, it just comes out when you create a new song or
exactly.
With new lyrics. Yeah. Do you have any musical inspiration, like with regard to music and bands and things like that and artists?
Oh, yeah, loads. Loads.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, I was, you know, I think I was like a teenager when someone first said, oh, because I was always making stuff like this. And then, joined the band, and one of the people in the band, bassist, had said to me, you know, you should listen to Parliament Funkadelic because they do what you do. And that's what I found it interesting, because you've actually just reminded me of that. Like, I haven't even really had that memory for a long time. I've thought about that for a long time, but it wasn't really me listening to that. I was doing stuff like that, and then someone said, oh, listen to this. And it I totally connected with it. So there's people like that. You know, there's obvious, I've always had obvious comparisons to people like Hendrix. And again, like that came later for me. Like I really respect and really like his work, but it was more like a reinforcement and like a validation listening to guys like that. But I like, and then, you know, I like, I can see some records in front of me. You can't see them, but I can see them. So I can see people like Outkast. I like AC/DC. I like Metallica. Mm-hmm. I like Sly and the Family Stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I like Tupac. I like, I listen to all, like if on my phone, I've got all these people on my phone.
Oh, yeah. No, that's cool. You know, I could sense that George Clinton, the Funkadelic Parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah,
love
I
mean, it.
Was it Parliament that came? I think they came to Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they still perform, right? They
do. They
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. They come here. They play in I think like maybe 3 times already. So
that's
I
awesome.
See that. I see that influence. How did you get to London? Were you born and raised there?
I was born. Yeah, I was born just outside London, a place called Essex, which is it's weird because where I was born, I was born in Barking Hospital, but then right down the road is Romford, which is a London borough, but it's in a county that's not in London. It's basically right on the edge. I always say to people, it's a bit like Jersey. It's a bit like New Jersey and New York. Like Essex is a bit like that. And then I've lived in London for most of my life, but I've also lived up in the north of Scotland, which is a whole other story.
Oh,
About
wow.
5 years ago. So I'm sort of my tastes are eclectic, but my background is a little bit diverse and eclectic. And my parents met here, well, in the UK, actually in the north of England, and they're both from Nigeria, but from different parts of Nigeria. So I'm all over.
So what is I know your project is called Sabata. What does that mean? How did you come up
Right.
with that name?
Well, it's actually from like an old Western movie. And it was like this, basically this guy, that's the name of the character, the main character, spelled slightly different, but it's just like the man in black. And I just thought, yeah, that sounds cool.
Really? Oh,
Yeah.
That's how
It's
cool.
That simple. Yeah.
Even your name is interesting. Yinka, you know, what does that mean? Yinka, I should have looked it up.
Well, you're getting deep. I like this interview because most people don't really go this
You
deep.
Got a most interesting name.
Thank you. So the whole name is Oye Yinka. And so it's like, so I am surrounded, the Nigeria, but Yoruba specifically, which is like the tribe that I'm from, all the names mean something. They're given for a reason. So I'm like the third in my family, like three sons, I'm the third son. And so the name means surrounded by chiefs. So the Oye is chief. So my family are chiefs. So I'm the last one. So I was surrounded by chiefs when I was born. So that's an exclusive. I've never told anybody
royalty,
before.
Huh? Royalty right there.
Yeah,
awesome.
But I won't be sending any emails with, you know, send me. I'm not one of those Nigerian princes.
No, I learn something all the time new about
you
something.
Great.
Just
you,
by
that,
asking.
Yeah.
I mean, how would I even know that? You know, I mean, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. That's great.
No problem.
So when you created your project, I know you had your debut album came out back in, 2015, right? It's called Middle of the Night.
Middle of the Night, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, you continued to write music. But how did you start it out? The title, Middle of the Night. Was there a specific?
Yeah, I like your questions. There was a thought process behind that. Like, basically, because pretty much most of what I was doing in terms of recording and writing it was happening in the middle of the night. Like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., like it was very nocturnal. So it just made sense. yeah, because I don't know. I know I'm not the only one, but there are other musicians who also like operate like that. Just like, even this last album, like the majority of this was It wasn't recorded all in the middle of the night, but the mixing and everything else done was done all in the middle of the night. Like I would get in at about 6 a.m. People were like going out. So yeah.
Oh. And so now I know you've been writing. So now you have an album. Well, it came out already, right? The latest
Came
album.
out last Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm
Well, How
still
to
the
Get
people that
Even. And
That's it.
I know your latest single, Get Your Shit Together. I think I was watching the video. You had two pictures of yourself. It's in contradiction, I guess you can say, with each other.
That's right.
Yeah. So tell us about it. I see the mind going through there. There's a mind thing with the music.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely. So I had that concept for a long time, like for about a year before I actually shot it. That's actually the first video. We've got another video, Get Over Yourself. But yeah, this one, Get Your Shit Together. It's really like it almost does what it says on the tin in a sense. Like it's kind of like the angel and the devil on your shoulders. So the whole performance so was just me. So there's me as me, and then there's like good Yinka and bad Yinka. Kind of, but that's the thing. They're still only kind of like it's like the cliche, but it's up to you to decide. But that's what I'm really trying to convey in the video, because the song itself is about really, the kind of hedonistic, especially among artists and musicians. It's almost like you're expected to kind of follow this kind of slightly crazy lifestyle. And I can't really say like I'm totally against it, but it's like at the same time, there's many times where you'll think, should I be doing this? Should calm down or whatever. So I put that in the song, and then I thought, what would be a really interesting way to actually get it across in a video? Because for me, the video is also art. Like the music is art and the video is art. And I try and make the video as interesting as possible, not just like, oh, I need a video for the song. You see what I mean? So that's kind of the idea behind it.
Was there a particular theme in this album that you were focusing on?
Yeah, again, you're making me come up with a few revelations here. So like I had a different title for the album for quite some time. Eventually. But so there's a song on there called To Love Me Is to Know Me. And there's a line in there that
Oh, yeah. I love
says,
that title.
yeah, there's a line in there that says, more or less, the new me's like the old me, but just with a few more scars. So the album title initially was going to be called A Few More Scars. But then I thought, I don't know, like, it's not, it means something to me, but it might not mean something to others. So the whole, there isn't necessarily a theme across the album, but it's more about, it's quite personal, but it's also, I wanted to deal with like real life in a sense. And I wanted it to feel like what I believe is rock and roll, because I think rock and roll for me is like, it's gritty, it's a bit dirty, it's not super polished all the time. It's life as you see it, and as it occurs and you encounter it. So that's kind of, so this, you've got different songs about different things, like you've got, there's a lot of rebelliousness in it, but then there's dealing with relationships, but then there's also dealing with like dysfunctional situations. And then it's just like having fun. There's various things. So how it ended up getting to How to Get Even is that I was trying to come up with the idea for the album cover. So I had all the song, I had everything recorded, everything was ready to go, but I couldn't think of the album cover. And then I've got, I don't know if you've seen it. I'll
Yeah,
see
I
if I
did.
can
Yeah,
pull it
actually,
on
it's the picture
here.
of
I don't know, I'm just saying, I don't know if you've seen this. If you've
yes,
seen
that is the coolest thing
the
I've ever seen. Did you get that made for you?
I got that made. Like this
Oh
is
my God.
one of one. There is not another one of these in the world. That's a fact.
Wow.
So I just
I love
thought,
that.
why don't I actually do something with the guitar and the cup? Well, I had the idea to do something, but I didn't know what. And then it just came to me one night, like, especially with the heritage as well, I thought, let me do something like a shrine. So that's what the cover is. It's like the shrine, and I'm basically conjuring this guitar. And in a sense, for me, with all the tribulations and all the opposition, which everybody has, but this is my way to get even. So I thought, okay, let me put this, get this out, conjure this thing with this music, and that's, you know, you can't get more even than that. So don't get mad, get even. So that's a long, convoluted story, but that's what it's about.
And this album you produce and you mixed it yourself?
Yes, I did. Okay.
All the lyrics and that, because you're quite a storyteller, so you write the lyrics yourself, right?
That's correct, yeah.
These songs, I know the trouble of them. If people are not aware, they can find your music on Bandcamp.
Well, Bandcamp, Spotify, everywhere you get music and stream. But I'm glad you mentioned Bandcamp, because if they want to support it, they, you know, I purchase it. They can purchase it directly from Bandcamp.
Would that be the best place to purchase your music if they want their own, like, own their
absolutely
own high quality MP3 or WAV file? They can get it at Bandcamp. Exactly. Right? Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Please get it at Bandcamp. It'd be great.
And so there's 12 songs in here. And all these songs, were they written more recently? Or did you have some of these songs written a long time ago and you just weren't ready to release it yet?
Good question. I think, well, I was working on them, because there was another album that we did, like, actually between after Middle of the Night, 2018, called Misfit Music. So it's basically after that. So there are a number of songs that I was working on, but a lot of it is, it's all like 2018, 2019, 2020. Like it's all pretty recent. There's one instrumental, which is Take You There. That's the instrumental.
I love the instrumental. I love the way you play your guitars. I mean, I like the video when you do this and you can see the guitar. I love that, you know. Is it very Hendrix? you know, John, you know Jimi Hendrix, right? I mean, that's like the ultimate.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And it's always it's a great compliment. You know, I think one of the things that I think that sometimes with Jimmy that people overlook is actually the songwriting. Like, he is a really good songwriter. And also the experimentation, mm-hmm. innovation in the production, which obviously Eddie Kramer had a lot to do with it, but I think he also had a lot to do with it. So, I admire Hendrix, not just for the not really just for the guitar playing, actually, in a sense, more for the creativity in general and experimentation and the fearlessness. You know, because, you know, you mentioned earlier, like, stuff you like about my music in terms of, like, having the R&B, this different influences in it. One of the songs that really did blow my mind by Hendrix, which, really reaffirmed, like, okay, I'm doing the right thing, I'm moving in the okay direction, is a song called Axis Bold as Love. Which is literally like the R&B of the time mixed with like his crazy guitar, psychedelic rock music that he was doing. It's like they crash together in that song. If you listen to that song, you hear it's like it is 3-4 waltz with the R&B that they used to do. And then he's doing all this stuff on top of it. So, I take that compliment, and that's kind of how I am. That's how I vibe with it.
Yeah, you know, like I was saying to you earlier, you know, you got to play live because, you know, people want to watch you. They got to see it live. I mean, that's really because it's all about the groove, right?
And it is. I mean, the thing is, I love to play live. This is, again, like you kind of tap into some. I love this interview because, like, this is like a proper interview, like where we're communicating, because you tapped into something there. Because I played so many shows. It's just like since pandemic hit or whatever, I've been really working on, I mean, and one way it's good because I don't think I've put as much, and I always put a lot in. I don't think I put as much into an album as this. Like, this is like everything. Like, I just put it all out there. But I can't wait to be back out live. It's like, it's been the weirdest experience for me not playing live for a while. Like, it's so strange. And, you know, I've been going to friends shows. I'm going to a show tomorrow night. I'm just, you know, like, gearing up. I'm putting, like, a lineup together to get back out there and kill it again. Because I want people to see and experience, like you say, like the feeling of the groove live. And I want people to see the guitar, man.
Did you get that guitar recently made, or have you had that for
a while? I've had the guitar maybe about a year now, but it's only a year. Like, it took about a year and a half to make. Just me and my friend. Because I should have worn it today, but I actually designed t-shirts. Like, so I had 40s, which I sold. So it was like, I've sold quite a lot. So it's basically a cone with the guitar head. And I thought, there's a friend of mine who used to come to a studio that I used to work at. Like, and he said, this was years ago, said, I'm making guitars, I'm going to start making guitars. That's Lawton Guitars, by the way. Amazing guitar luthier. Like, if you check him out. And then after about, several years after, a couple of years ago now, I finally said, you know what? Let's just make it. Let's make this guitar. So I designed it, and then he just made it happen for me. So it's amazing.
Nice. It's a great looking guitar. And then, like I said, there's nothing else in the world. So, and that's your brand,
That's my brand. Exactly.
That's exactly
so what I can't wait. I can't even wait to get out there. So, but I think, I might do one next month. But definitely early 2024, just onwards. Like, I hope to get out to you. I'd love to get out to Hawaii, but I'm definitely trying to get out to the States again, because I've played in the States before. So I'd love to come there.
Well, if you don't come to Hawaii, maybe I hope you come to LA or somewhere close by where I'm at, so I can fly over there and see you.
That would be awesome. I would love to, because I've been East Coast. I've played in Philly. I've played in New York. I haven't got West yet, so I would love to play.
San Francisco, would love your music. I mean, that is so like San Francisco groove,
That would be awesome. I hear great things about the whole Bay Area. So yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, totally. I see you going there one day.
Yep.
Your music and totally. Well, gosh, it was a pleasure to speak with you about your music. We'll be talking again soon, but big shout out again to Shauna, Shameless Promotion PR. And how did you connect with
her? Sure, right.
How did you guys connect?
Well, just through cool people, because it's one of these things where I kind of known of her a couple of years before we actually started doing stuff, but there's this amazing band called The Bell.
I just did an interview with them. It's up on my YouTube channel, The Bell.
Okay, I'll check that out. I didn't know that. Yeah, so the twins. So again, I knew they kind of, I don't know how we connected, but I ended up going out to the States a couple of times, and I've hung out with them. And they're amazing. I said, who are you working with? And they, said Shauna. And then, we chat back and forth. And then eventually I just went for it. And yeah, great things are happening. So shout out to Shauna, Shameless PR, amazing. Thanks so much for setting this up.
Thank you. You got great energy. I love your energy. Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show. And congratulations on this latest album, How to Get Even, was out November 17th. And let's see, where is it out from? You can see, and people want to check you out. It's on your Bandcamp page, Sabata.
Yeah, right? Sabata. Sabata, that's one. Yeah, you go. I can do it if you want. I don't mind.
Go ahead, you say it.
So it's Sabata. That's Sabatta. So Sabatta, 1B, 2T, sabata.bandcamp.com. That's the best place. And then across social media, just if you Google Sabata, you're going to find everything. So, we're there. We're on Instagram, Facebook, The Real Sabata on Instagram, Sabata on Facebook, The Real Sabata on X. Now they call it X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And YouTube, of course, you can check out the new videos. It's just Sabata on YouTube. But as I say, Sabatta, Google, and ye shall find.
And you play the bass as well, right? You also
not live, of course, but I on the recording, I play the bass and the guitar and sing.
And this album was released on Blackfriars Entertainment.
Yeah, that's independent. That's kind of something to do with me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Yinka, for being
thank you.
Show. And
DJ Nocturna, make sure check her out. It's amazing. Like, best interview ever. basically, definitely. Like I've loved this. So thank you so much.